Today's theme is the wise heart and mindfulness of relationships. And as I was preparing for this class, I just again and again kept returning to self-judgment and self-forgiveness. And how much those our relationships, our relationship with ourselves is the center of our relationships with everyone else. And we all have self-judgment. We've all experienced resistance to self-forgiveness. And these are so I think it's useful to talk about these. So I especially want to talk about self-forgiveness, why it's so hard, and how to do it. One of my wedding vows was, knowing how deeply our lives intertwine, I take up the way of forgiveness. I vow to give up all hope for a better past. So that's a reference to a Lily Tomlin line, or actually, it's been credited to many different people, but I like to imagine Lily Tomlin saying it. The forgiveness is giving up all hope for a better past. So I love the humor of that. And I appreciate the clarity of how, like, right, this is about the past and there's nothing we can do to change it. And it also points to how, when we're able to actually forgive, that there's freedom there. I mean, think about a time that someone forgave you for something. The feeling that there's a like expansion and a release and a pleasure, of course, but it's a release. Charlotte Joko Beck, Zen teacher, says that the capacity to experience joy is directly related to the capacity to forgive. So it's really this process of forgiveness is, it's an essential part of the spiritual path of growing, which we'll know that. And it's this, but there's something particular about self-forgiveness and our reluctance to forgive ourselves. Tara Brach defines forgiveness as a kind of having two parts. One, that it's a release of the armor around the heart, to a like a letting go of the shield that is a story of blame. And then the second part is to come into contact with the vulnerability that that story of blame was covering over. So it's the letting go of the protection and then the coming into contact with the vulnerability that's underneath the protection. So why is it so hard to do this? It's because we have these fears that well, if I forgive myself, then then I'll wreak havoc. Then I'll really go wild and be kind of uncontrolled in my bad behavior. Or if I forgive myself, then I won't improve, but I won't learn from the situation. Or sometimes there's a sense that I deserve the punishment, or that I need this kind of punishment in order to make my way through the situation. So let's do a reflection. Let's kind of check this out for ourselves. So find a comfortable position, and maybe you'd like to close your eyes or lower your gaze. And we're going to come into contact with some experience or area of our lives where we blame ourselves for something. So this could be something you did in the past, or it could be an ongoing behavior, but some way that you caused harm to yourself or to someone else, and that you still hold some sense of unforgiveness towards yourself for what that was. So maybe you were very judgmental, or you lashed out in some way. Maybe you have some sense of self-blame around some kind of addictive behavior. Maybe you made some kind of a betrayal. Whatever it is, just kind of scanning through your life and finding one. And it doesn't need to be the most, in fact, please don't let it be the most intense or traumatic version. Pick one that's somewhere at the level that you can engage with this morning, kind of a stable way. Okay, but find one situation where there's something that's kind of unforgivable in yourself. And if you're up for it, let yourself lean in a little and feel what was so bad, or what is so bad about this behavior or this way of thinking. Let yourself feel that. And then I'm going to pose some questions. And let's just see what arises. What's wrong with forgiving yourself for this? What comes up when you ask yourself, what would be so bad about letting go of blaming yourself for this? Let's see what comes up. If it's a sense of, I don't deserve to forgive myself for this. If I forgive myself, I'll do it again. If I let go of blame, I'll never improve. So you can notice what it is, what arises for you as your reason for not forgiving yourself. And then if you're up for it, I'll pose another question, which is, what would you contact if you let go of the blame? What would you feel if you were to release yourself from this? We're just bringing this above the line of awareness. We're just touching into this. So let's bring a sense of kindness, of holding this with compassion. And knowing that it's universal. Going to ring the bell to bring us out of this reflection. as a way of coming out of this, let's just see how this feels. If you put a hand on your heart, put your hand on your heart and feel the warmth and the pressure of your hand on your chest. Let there be a sense of just gentleness, leading yourself with kindness. And we can also try putting our hands on our arms, like a little self hug. Just feel that sense of holding, to be with yourself in the vulnerability. And then one more, try putting your hand on your cheek. This can be so tender. You can even do both if you want. Just to feel what that's like. Okay, you can, I think it's so important to have these ways of doing physical self-care. It's so powerful. I'd like to tell a story about a time that, well, first I'll say self-forgiveness is so hard. It's really hard because we come into contact with what can be profound vulnerability. And the process of doing that opens the door to freedom. It opens, it releases us from the past into the present moment. And this present moment is where we can learn and where we can choose different actions, different words. And this, yeah, the present moment is where the potential is. So this desire to learn and grow and be better is beautiful. And there's something in our reluctance to self-forgive that feels to me very related to the inner critic, that there's a kind of misguided effort to care for ourselves, that the shielding, the story of blame that we have about ourselves is a shielding from feeling the vulnerability. And it's not true. It doesn't, it's like we have a sense of control that way, but it's not actually control over the situation. So how do we go about doing this work when it's so hard? The first thing is that it's a practice and that we can formally practice forgiving ourselves. It's, you all know that forgiveness is a process. It's a healing process. And for me, it's really helpful to think about a physical healing process. When you cut yourself, you can be like, oh, this is so painful and I wish this would hurry up and heal. And you can do things to support that healing. You can eat well, you can sleep well, you can put some Neosporin on it. So you can support the healing process, but you can't actually rush it. It doesn't work. And it's the same thing with forgiveness. We've probably all had the experience of like wishing that we could forgive something and be done with the situation, but it's a process. And so how do we do those support things? How do we put the Neosporin on? One way is to have the intention to forgive, to consciously set the intention, to say it out loud, to write it down, to begin or end a meditation with, my intention is to forgive. My intention is to forgive myself. And for some people, the word forgive doesn't work for them. You know, like sometimes there's an association with like, oh, I'm a sinner, and that's attached to forgiveness. So maybe find the wording that works for you. It could be, my intention is to hold this with compassion. My intention is to feel this, to come into contact with this vulnerability and hold it with kindness. And that is huge, to have a conscious intention to forgive is powerful. And then for me, I find ritual to be very helpful. And so this is the story I want to tell. I won't go into the details of the situation, but I was very much blaming myself for a situation. I was really punishing myself, and it had been going on for so long, and I was just really tired of being trapped in this judgment and the suffering around it. And I came across a ritual, a self-forgiveness ritual, in a book that was, I was very compelled by this book, but I was also repelled by this book. I was like, there was something so activating to me about this book. And in it, there was this ritual that you write a letter to yourself, forgiving yourself. And then you get someone to witness you and you read the letter aloud to this person. You sign it. You have your witness sign the letter, and then you burn the letter. So I read this ritual and I thought, oh, and the book gave a template for the letter. So it wasn't even about like actually describing the details of what happened. And I was so even triggered by the idea, like, well, maybe, okay, Bill wants another book. Okay, the book is called Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tipping. And while I was reading this book, I was reading it while I was living at Green Gulch, and I had a roommate, and my roommate said at one point, wow, you're really into that book. And I said, no, I'm not. Why do you say that? She said, you read it every second you get a chance. It's like we get a 5-minute break and you're reading that book. And I was like, So I read this ritual, and the fact that there's a template letter where basically all I do is fill in my name, I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. If I was going to do that, I would write a real letter that's actually about my situation. And I no way in heck would I get a witness. That's so embarrassing. I would never do that. But I could imagine maybe I could write the letter myself and I could burn it. I could do that part. So I actually did write out the letter on a separate piece of paper. And then thought, maybe one day I'll do it. Okay, well, sure enough, one day, a couple weeks later, I had a moment. I found myself with some time in the evening, and there was something in me that opened, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna do it. Tonight is the night. Right now is the moment. I'm going to do that self-forgiveness ritual. And then I thought, if I were to ask someone to witness me, who could I imagine? And then I thought, there's only one person I can imagine. This wonderful woman, Denise, who was also a farm apprentice with me. And I thought, but oh gosh, I don't know. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm walking and I walk past the dining room. The dining room is dark except for one light that's lighting one solo person in the dining room. And of course, guess who it was? I look and I couldn't believe it. There's Denise. Whoops. Dropped my glasses. So I went in and I said, okay, hi, Denise. How are you? Good to see you. And I said, I have something that feels really awkward to ask you, but I want to do a self-forgiveness ritual and I need a witness. And she just totally lit up and she said, oh, I would be so honored to be your witness. And I was like, okay. And she said, when do you want to do it? You want to do it on the full moon or the new moon? And I was like, I want to do it right now. She said, okay, let me just put away these dishes, you know. So we right then went, we went outside and sat out on a cliff, and I read the letter aloud and signed it, and then she signed it, and then I, and we were at Green Gulch, so we had walked out to the, basically to the ocean at Muir Beach, and we're sitting up on a cliff, and we just had put down a blanket and then had a little candle there, and so I start to light the piece of paper on fire, and as I'm doing this, I'm thinking, I'm lighting a fire in California grasslands. What am I doing? Oh my gosh. And I suddenly had, look, I didn't have any water with me. You know, I was like, what if I'm starting a fire? And I had all this incredible resistance to this moment of lighting the letter on fire. But I had actually already lit it. So I'm having all these emotions while it's happening. And there was like a little line of flame at the edge of the, not even really flame, it was more like just ember. And as the paper was burning and it was dark out, and we could just see the edge of the paper and then the smoke coming up, and the process of watching this piece of paper disappear was fascinating, because it was just turning into nothing. And then as it got closer, honestly, the line of embers kind of curled around and made, so I'm holding it by the corner, it made the shape of a heart. I couldn't believe it. And then it keeps going, and it's getting closer and closer to my thumb, and I'm so fascinated. I was just thinking, I'm gonna hold this. I don't know if I'm gonna get burned. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I'm just gonna hold this till the very end. And the ember came down, and then it was like it bit my finger, and I suddenly opened my hand, and it was gone. The letter was gone. And my body started to shake. I started to shake. And then I felt this incredible release, physical release. And I looked up, and there was a shooting star that went vertically. And I kind of exclaimed, and then I said, did you see that? And Denise said, yeah, I saw that. And if that wasn't a sign, I don't know what is. And then I turned to her and I said, I am so glad I had a witness. Because especially with the shooting star, I don't think if she hadn't been there confirming it for me, I think I would have thought that I had made that up. So, okay, super powerful experience. I felt transformed. And I was also living in this monastery, so it didn't have any impact on my, I wasn't in touch with the people who were involved with who I had caused harm to. Months later, I came into contact with the main person involved, and we had a really healing conversation. And in it, I told her about this ritual that I had done. And it turned out she had done a forgiveness ritual also, and definitely the same month. And we think it may have even been the same weekend. And it was so, I find that to be just yet another example of these ways that we do this inner work and we don't know all the many ways that we're connected and the ways that we affect each other. So this, the impact of setting the intention to forgive ourselves and to maybe creating some kind of ritual around it, it makes a difference for within ourselves. And then that ripples out some invisible and invisible ways. Visible and invisible. And so this practice of self-forgiveness then opens up, it brings us into a different kind of relationship with our inner critic and the kinds of judgments that come up when we're in creative practice. Okay, let's get into the practice. There's more, I could go on forever. But yeah, let's do some practice and then we'll get into the drawing as well. Are there any questions or comments before we move into practice? No. Okay. Great. So let's find a comfortable position. Maybe rock back and forth a little. You could rock forward and back. And you can close your eyes or lower your gaze, whatever helps you to bring the awareness inward. Oh, and let's just have some full exhales. If it feels right, you can make a sound on the exhale or a kind of sighing. And let any part of your body that's any obvious areas of tension, you can invite those areas to release. Take a moment to notice what it's like to be in your body right now. Bring your awareness into your heart. And feel the breath flowing in and out of the heart. As we're breathing in and out of the heart, you can be listening inward and you can clarify yourself and an intention. You can have the intention to in some way open your heart, to free the heart, as we practice together. So let's scan through our lives and bring to mind some aspect of yourself, some behavior, either from the past or current, that has felt unforgivable. So again, I encourage you to pick something that feels accessible to you with a level of charge that feels workable today, not picking the most intense or traumatizing experience, but something that's available to you, manageable for today. And see, where have you been pushing yourself out of your own heart? Maybe you have felt that you were being too judgmental or controlling, or you've hurt those who you hold dear. Or maybe it's hard to forgive yourself for harming yourself in some way, maybe through addictive behavior, or not living up to some of your standards. And as you sense into what is unforgivable, you can feel into what's so bad, what's so wrong about this behavior or emotion or way of thinking. So let yourself feel what's aversive to you about this. What's so bad about this? And let's let the awareness explore more deeply. What's the part of you that's driving you to act in this way? We're feeling into this behavior that we've done or that we do. And sense, what is it asking for? What is this behavior motivated by? Is there a need that you're trying to satisfy? Is there a fear that you're trying to soothe? What's going on inside you that's creating the impulse that has you acting out in this way that you condemn? If you hurt another person, were you acting from hurt or insecurity or the desire to feel safe? See if you can witness yourself in this vulnerability through the eyes of someone very dear to you, a friend, a relative, a divine being, or maybe the most awake part of yourself. Seeing it from this perspective, can you hold this with compassion, with some sense of understanding? As you become aware of these underlying desires and wants and fears, see if you can feel them in your body, feel them in your heart. And even though you dislike these behaviors and you're not condoning these behaviors, can you hold them with compassion? With a wise and caring witness that's awake and engaged. From here, maybe you'd like to put your hand on your heart or hold yourself in a hug or put your hand on your cheek.